Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
And so as I prayed, the Lord laid this on my heart, and that's where we're going to go in for a couple weeks here. And we're going to talk about relying on God. We're going to talk about relying on God. And that when it comes to relying on God, it requires three faith responses. And those responses are simply courage, commitment, and counsel. Those are the three faith responses when it comes to relying on God. I want to take us through a biblical journey of individuals. They may be kings, they may be priests, could be prophets, or so forth, who either walk this out in their own personal walk with God. In other words, they relied on God from point A to point B. Or the individual may have walked with God and relied on God at certain phases of their life. Could have started out relying on God, but over a period of time, they end up allowing something to get them off track when it came to relying on God. And then there are biblical figures that had nothing to do with relying on God. From point A to point B, they didn't rely on God. And I want us to look at the results of their life so that we can begin to see individually and collectively in our own lives what life looked like when it comes to relying on God. This is a very easy statement to say. Most people say, well, I rely on God. But relying on God is easy to say, but faith without works is dead. So now I want you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles 15, and we're going to examine the life of a particular king here. And we're going to look at how he gives us an example of what it means to rely upon God. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm relying upon God. Hallelujah. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 15, I want you to grab this. So in 2 Chronicles 15, we witness the life of this king by the name of Asa. He ruled over Judah during the times where the two kingdoms, they were divided. Israel and Judah hasn't always been a united kingdom. They were a divided kingdom for a great period of time. And so they had different kings that ruled over them during the time where they were divided. And here at this time, Asa, he is ruling over the part of the kingdom, which is Judah, and Benjamin and a few other tribes joined with that particular part of God's people. This king started out relying upon God, had testimony of what that was like, but over the course of time, his courage and his commitment and his counsel yielded to the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear got him off course with the things of God. So, but if before we get to 2 Chronicles 15, if you look back in 2 Chronicles 14, is where we see his life. Just to give you a little background, in verse 2, it said, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods. And in other words, when he became king, the first thing he did, he started putting the things of God back into place within the nation of Judah. He began to make reforms. He began to bring back the things that God had given Israel to be committed to and to walk in. But there were some things I saw in chapter 15 that reflects what it means to rely on God. And one of the things I saw in chapter 15 was, the Bible says, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So one of the things I see is that relying on God means I honor him. King Asa honored God. And so this prophet comes and he began to prophesy to the king. This prophetic word is going to stir up Asa to even want to be more diligent for God, to be more faithful for God. So relying on God means that I honor him. Another thing I noticed with Asa is this, that relying on God means I receive his counsel. I receive his counsel. In chapter 15, he comes down to verse 3, he said, for a long time, Israel has been without a true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. How many know those are three anointings for victory? Those are three anointings for victory. And the prophet said, for a long time, Israel have been without that. What? They've been out of relationship with God. They've been out of teacher. They haven't had someone giving them what? Counsel. And they've been without a law. They've been without the word of God. Those are three anointings for victorious living. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. In verse 5, and in those times, there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak. For your work shall what? Your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. He took courage. Why? Because he knew what it meant to rely on the counsel he had received from God. The Bible says he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Relying on God means I receive his counsel. That prophetic word charged up his faith, fed his faith. And after he received that word from that prophet, how many know courage came on the inside of him? Courage came on the inside of his heart. The other thing I noticed about Asa is this. Relying on God means I release seed and speak in agreement with my faith. I'm talking about relying on God. Relying on God means I release seed and speak in agreement. Now, how many know he's received a word concerning honoring God? He received a word about the counsel. And in verse number 10, the Bible say, so they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all of their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horn. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest, what? All around. Notice that Asa directed the people, first of all, to give an offering to the Lord. That was a way under the Old Testament that they expressed their worship to God. They saw God as the source of meeting their needs. So these people had no problem in honoring God with their wealth. That's why they were so blessed. They were so blessed. They had no problem. The Bible say, verse 11, they offered to the Lord at that time. They gave offerings. They made a commitment publicly. They went into an oath with God. And they begin to praise and celebrate what they were doing. So relying on God means I release seed and I speak in agreement with my faith. They didn't only give seed, but how do you know they begin to make confessions with their faith? That means I'm relying upon God. The last one I noticed about Esau was this. Relying on God means my relationship with him is out of this world. See, when we rely upon God, relationships with other people sometimes have to be tested. There are people who have a tendency to either get people to learn how to rely upon them or they end up relying upon someone else. I tell people when you're discipling someone in the Lord, always disciple them so they can follow Jesus and not just pattern after you. Because at some point, that disciple gets to be released so they can walk with the Lord for themselves. That's what true discipleship looks like. You may disciple them when they are new in Christ and they are at that state of what we call a babe in Christ. But how many know they're not going to stay a babe? They're going to grow up in the things of God. And they're going to get this. They're going to be like those men that told that woman at the well when she came and told them, you know, come see a man that told me all I had done. And after a while, after they've been hanging around Jesus for a while, they said themselves, say, we don't believe because of what she said. We believe because of what we hear ourselves. How many know that's discipleship? She started out bringing them and leading them. But after they start listening to Jesus and spending time with Jesus, they said, we don't believe because of what she said. We believe because we heard for ourselves. You know, you look at verse number 13, where the Bible say those who didn't seek the Lord was put to death. And we could say that's pretty harsh there. That's pretty hard. But you got to understand, they are eradicating idolatry out of the culture. Idol worship had got bad in Judah. And so God was serious about them making sure they get those idols out of there. And so those who would not join in to seek the Lord, how many know they were literally put to death? Idolatry is a major issue with God. Worshiping idols, relying on idols. But in verse 16, it got so close to Esau that he had to deal with his own mother, who was an idol worshiper. And she was influencing it big time in the culture. And so verse 16 says, also he removed Maacah, the mother of Esau the king, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, and Esau cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. He removed his own mother out of position. Because she had created a shrine and an idol, and she was influencing people to worship that idol. And after he removed her out of position, he had that idol destroyed. Why? Because he was relying upon God. And he was removing those things that was a hindrance to it. And the Bible says in verse 17, but the high places were not removed from Israel. In other words, Esau had made a major reform, but everything was not totally, completely taken out. Nevertheless, the heart of Esau was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. How many know? He shows us what it means to rely on God. Relying on God means my relationship with him is out of this world. There's no one in this world that should come between your relationship with God. And when you have to make those tough decisions with family members, how many know you are literally just honoring God? I had someone share one time, they had some family members come in from out of town. And, you know, they have a Christian home. And when you have a Christian home, doesn't mean you're perfect, but you got a standard. Certain things you just don't do in it, and things you just tell other people, well, you know, you can't come in here smoking dope now. You just have a standard. And so the people came in from out of town, and they were not married, and they wanted to stay together within their home, and they say, well, no, you know, you all are not married. We prefer y'all to get a hotel room. How many know the whole family got married? What's wrong with y'all, you know? How many know if you got a standard, you got a standard now? Now, everybody has a right to raise the standard or have a standard in their home. You have to respect people's standard. Even we that are grown, when our children get grown, we go to their house. I don't go to their house trying to, you know, change their standard. That's their standard. But when they come to my house, I mean, oh, that's my standard. I mean, oh, that's just wisdom, right? When I get in their car, I don't try to change their standard. I don't get in there talking about, turn the radio off. That's their radio. That's their car. I'm in it. I have to respect what? That's their car. I ain't paying for it. Now, if I'm paying for it, I got something to say. If I ain't paying for it, I can't say nothing. So I'm just saying, different people have different things that they're comfortable about. And it's not an issue of right and wrong. In a case like that, the person is just saying that we are uncomfortable with that. You hear what I'm saying? That's all they're saying. We are uncomfortable with that. Well, is it sin for me to stay? No, it's not an issue of sin. It's what I am uncomfortable with. We got to understand that. But Esau, because of his relationship with God, he made that decision with his mother. It was based on what? His relationship with God. And based on that, what he did? He had to literally remove her out of office and then had to destroy that image that she had built. King Esau relied on God, and remember I said earlier, until the spirit of fear came. Look at chapter 16. It said in the 36th year of the reign of Esau, Baasha, king of Israel, remember the kingdoms are divided at this time, right? So you got the king of Judah, you got the king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah that he might let none go out or come in and Esau, king of Judah. So what he's doing? He's hedging him in. The king of Israel is building this building or this wall. So he's hedging in King Esau. That means can't nobody get out and can't nobody come in. Then Esau brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, now notice what he does. Because of what the king of Israel is doing against him, he goes to the king of Syria and make an alliance with him. Let there be a treaty between you and me as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. What's that? A bribe, right? I've sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will what? Withdraw from me. In other words, what he's saying is, I'm paying you money so you can come and work with me and work against the king of Israel, because get this, I'm giving you more than what the king of Israel is giving you. How many know that's happened today, right now in the world we're living in now? That's what's going on over in the Middle East. United States, much larger nation. What the United States do? United States go and offer what? Money. Offer weapons to these countries, to people up, to play on our team. Other countries do the same thing. So this is what the king of Israel is doing. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa, verse 4, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ijon, Dan, all these cities of Israel. They attacked them. And now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah. In other words, when he got attacked by the Syrian king, the king of Israel did what? Stop building. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building, and with them he built Geba. So here you go. So the King Asa has a victory that he didn't have to fight. All he did was pay the king of Syria to go and attack the king of Israel. So he stands there, and he's probably feeling good about himself, but what is motivating him? Fear is motivating him. He was not able to stay the course. Look at verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, read with me what? Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Notice, God sends a prophet to Asa and basically tell him, I got a problem with what you just did. You relied on the hand of man and not the hand of God. So fear opened the door and got him off course. So I thought about what could he perhaps have done to overcome this. I believe you overcome fear by, first of all, you identify the fear and you shine the light of truth on it. You have to be real with fear. You got to see, for him, he could have said, okay, where is the fear? The fear is coming from the king of Israel. What he's doing. Fear opens the door to what? To bondage. So he could have identified the fear, but when you identify fear, you have to shine the light of truth. You got to put God's word on that fear. You got to put God's word. So God told him there was a problem. In verse 8 it said, were the Ethiopians and the Lumium not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because what? Because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. The other thing you have to do is reflect on past seasons of unfolding grace and power. Not only did God rebuke him for going to the king of Syria, but God reminded him, what happened when the Ethiopian king came against you? I gave you victory then. So you got to reflect on past seasons of unfolding grace. You got to look back how God worked some things out in your life in the past so you can get rid of that fear. You know, some things happen and we get news about some. The first response is going to be anxiety. That's normal. Anybody, when you have a car accident, the first response is anxiety because you're human. The body is made to respond like that. There's certain chemicals that automatically get released. Adrenaline begin to just automatically go into defense mode because God wired us like that, right? At that moment, when those things happen, you got to begin to settle down and say, wait a minute, let me. And most people know that after they settle down, they begin to align their faith. I'm going to rely on God. I'm going to trust God in this. And so what God is saying, if you look back in your record, you saw what I did for you last time. If I gave you victory then, you could have relied upon me this time. And the last thing I have, you can turn things around by turning your faith around. You know, King Asa still had opportunity to turn things around in this situation. And it's sad the way he went down this downhill spiral, because the Bible says in verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That means those who rely on him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. You know what God is saying? I was waiting to help you. The Bible tells us, and I want us to grab hold of this, that whenever we're facing a situation and we got to rely on God, we got to remember this verse, that God is looking for opportunity to show himself strong on behalf of those who will rely on him. It's not like God wants us to beg him and God saying, I don't know if I'm going to do it. But God wants us to what? To rely upon him. That even when it seems like things are getting worse and worse, rely on God. Just make a commitment at that point. I'm going to rely on God, because I found out this, worrying don't change anything. And I'm talking what I live out myself. Worrying don't change anything. Losing sleep and trying to figure it out in your mind don't change anything. Just feel so much better not putting all that stuff. And I feel like in my spirit, there's almost like a more, there's a liberty. And you don't realize how you may be clouding up areas of your life with certain stuff that if you step away from it, if you get this, if you fast from it, you'll be like, wow, this is better. My point I'm making is that worrying don't change nothing. Trying to figure stuff out in your mind don't change nothing. Why not just release all that and say, I'm going to rely on God. I'm going to rely. And what God is saying, that's what I'm waiting on, for you to rely on me. Let's just close to look at how he responded. In verse 10, the Bible says, then Esau was angry with the seer. Get this, he got mad at the prophet. And the prophet ain't doing but speaking the word of God. He was angry with the seer and put him in prison. For he was enraged at him because of this, and Esau oppressed some of the prophets at that time. And in the 39th year of his reign, Esau became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physician. You see the downhill spiral? He gets angry at the word of rebuke from God. And he gets to a point where now he's got some physical issues going on, some very serious issues going on, and he still won't seek God. I believe if he had relied on God, would have healed that feet. God would have restored his life. But I mean, no, pride is in the way now. And all of a sudden, the Bible says in verse, now God is not against physicians now. He's not hating on the physicians. He's hating on who he's relying on. You get this. Even when you go to doctor, you rely on God. Even when you take medicine, you rely on God. See, that's what we got to be as Christians. We can't get out here because, how many know, doctors and medicine, all those things are to do what? Is to do good. Anything that's designed to do good, guess what? Every good and perfect gift comes from God. So those things are designed to do good. And I know there's some corruption out there, but if you look at the whole of those things, so me going to the doctor is not evil. If I rely on the doctor and not God, that's a problem. Hallelujah. That's why most Christians, I don't know about you, but I pray over medicine that I take. I make confession over medicines that I take. Just like you eat your food, I take it in Jesus' name. If you read all those side effects and you sit there in fear, you say, oh, Lord, I really got to pray over this. Look at all the side effects. I may not be walking with this stuff. You have to what? You have to make sure you rely on God with this stuff. That side effect can make you throw it down. Am I in the right house? But they got to put that out there. Why? To protect themselves from lawsuits. But we're going to rely on God, right? So the Bible says, so Esau rested with his fathers and he died. So relying on God is easy to say, but in order to do it, it requires courage, commitment, and counsel. Let's take this Old Testament example of Esau. And let's not just let it be a history lesson, but let us see how we can look at his life and learn from it. Like the Bible says, this was written for our example, our admonition. How can we learn from that? And how can we make it a commitment that we're going to rely on God like never before? I want to close with what I call faith application questions. And I just want you to take these questions and I want you to consider them. And one of them is, they're in the form of, first of all, prayer. Pray and ask God to show you areas of your life in which you may not be truly relying on him. Now, that's when it becomes, you got to take time and even if it's tomorrow during your devotion time and you take your notes and just sit down with God and say, Lord, show me areas of my life in which I am not truly relying on you. And another one is practice. That means God, Help me to begin to put into action words and actions that reveal to me and others that I'm relying on you. In other words, I'm going to take steps of faith and actions that is a witness that I'm relying on God. And then proclaiming is, God used me to share with others my personal story and situation whereby I relied or didn't rely on you in the grace I found through that experience. Just leave that on the screen for those who are writing it down. I really want you to take that and in your quiet time, sit down with your pen and be you and God and just kind of write out that, because they'll hear the Spirit of God say, we want to make sure we're relying on God. Easy said, but faith without works is dead. And Esau becomes a great example to us, and it's sad that his story ended that way, and there are other kings whose stories did not end that way. There are priests whose stories did not end that way, but I believe God wants us to travel this journey so we can start looking at these Old Testament figures and seeing what it means to really rely on the Lord. How many know God wants all of us to rely on him? He wants us to do it. The Bible says his eyes go to and fro in all the earth. Really, it says this, looking for somebody who will rely on him. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want God to find me relying on him. Hallelujah. I tell you like this, it's going to cause you to become more spiritually healthy. It's going to cause you to become more emotionally healthy. You're going to become more physically healthy. Because why? When you're relying on God, anxiety, worry, he will show you areas in your life you need to perhaps close the door on. I'm just saying what he spoke to me. And man, that thing is working. And when something's working, how many know, for your good, you'd be like, wow, man, you don't realize how much stuff be bombarding your mind you putting in front of you. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. So I want us to encourage us. God spoke that in my heart. We want to make sure that we're relying on God. Take that weight off you. Glory to God. And God is waiting on us to rely on him in every area of our life. Just take a moment and bow your head. Father, we thank you and praise you for the time we've had to hear you speak into our lives.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. We're located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries.